Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight and for everything we've experienced thus far being in the Lord's house tonight. I trust that it's been a blessing to you just being here, and looking forward to what the Lord has for us through His Word tonight. If you have your Bibles, if you'd look with me to the book of Revelation chapter 21, Revelation chapter 21. We've been going through an introduction into our series for some time now because we started teaching on each book of the Bible. We went through the entire Bible, looking at every book of the Bible to know why we have the 66 books that we have and what they mean and what they're there for. The Bible takes us from eternity past all the way through to eternity future. It's God's way of helping us to understand about past, present, and future. And so that's why we have the Bible before us. And then we got to the book of Revelation, and we actually broke it down into that past, present, and future, and what the Word of God reveals to us. The present is our church age, and that's chapters 2 and 3, and we studied that. After chapter 3, you don't see the church mentioned anymore in this life because it's raptured out. And from chapter 4 all the way through to the end of the book of Revelation, it reveals future things. It reveals what's going to take place in the future. And it's everything that the prophets prophesied about the future, we find the book of Revelations brings that to our understanding. And so it's all through the scriptures, through the prophets in the Old Testament, through what Jesus taught as he walked upon the face of the earth, and then as we look into the book of Revelation. So it's been a blessing to go through and study in the book. God has a purpose for revealing everything that he has revealed. God wants us to know what he wants us to know, and that's why he's written it down and preserved it for us through the Bible. Good men can differ on some of the interpretations of Scripture as long as they do not disagree on the doctrines of Scripture. And especially in the book of Revelations, there's a lot of typology, there's a lot of different things taking place there. And it's all right to possibly differ on some of the interpretations of these typologies and things, but not good men do not differ on the doctrines of the Word of God. I've told you over and over, this is a practical study. And because I'm a practical preacher, I believe that God has revealed it so that we might learn of this and then make an application to our lives today. We've been studying here the last couple weeks on heaven. And of course, after chapter 20, we find that the judgments have been made, and now God is starting to reveal to us what we have to look forward to in eternity. And so we've studied much concerning heaven. The most important is God told John to write. In verse 5, it says, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." The words that John writes down are from God, and you can put your faith in it. It is actuality. It's reality. It's what God says that we have to look forward to concerning heaven. It's real. It's real. Last week, we studied verse 5 down to verse 8, and it revealed those who will and those who will not spend eternity in heaven. And the life of those, the way they live their life. Now, of course, salvation is not based on works. We understand that. We've taught that. But yet, it reveals to us those that live certain lives are lost, and those that live certain lives are saved. And that's part of the evidence of salvation, is how we continue to live our lives, continue to live our lives. And so it reveals to us who will and who will not spend eternity in heaven. And now tonight, if you will, go ahead and stand with me. We're going to be starting to read here in chapter 21 and verse 9. And really, it's going to cover a lot of this, the scriptures here in Revelation, all the way through chapter 22 and verse 5. It reveals the great, the holy Jerusalem. What does that mean in the book of Revelation? This Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem. Look what it says here. Let's start reading. As I read, you follow right along with me in verse 9. "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues," as we've already studied that, went through all that, "and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was likened to a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and the gates 12, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square. And the length is as large as the breadth, and the measure of he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof in 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, and the fourth an emerald. And the fifth, sardonyx, and the sixth, sardius, and seventh, all these different stones, and of course, precious stones. The eighth, beryl, the ninth, topaz, the tenth, chrysoprase, the 11th, a jacinth, and 12th, an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the city and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you tonight, thank you, Lord God, for all we've already experienced just being assembled together in this place. And now as we open up and look and read in this book of Revelation, and God, I know you have a message for each one of us tonight through this passage of Scripture. I pray that you'd give each one of us that desire to receive it, that we would put everything else out of our hearts and our minds and stay focused on what you have for us through the preaching of the Word of God. Pray that you would use me once again to bring forth your message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The great city, the holy Jerusalem. Verse 10, descending out of heaven from God. Now, Jerusalem has always been a key figure in the lives of God's children, whether it be the Old Testament or the New Testament. It is revealed as many different things as we study the Scriptures. We find that Jerusalem is called the city of David, the city of God, the city of the great king, the city of Judah, the city of truth, the holy city. As you study the Scriptures, you look through it, there's many, God reveals this as with all these different sayings. It's God's description of what he wants us to look forward to. It's God's description for us to anticipate what heaven will be like. Again, we've studied the entire Bible coming up and leading up to where we're at here in Revelation. Toward the end of it, we've already studied all the judgments, and now we're looking at what God describes as eternity in heaven. I think it's very important that we have an understanding of what heaven's going to be like. And it's something I've mentioned before, that you cannot have too high of expectations of what heaven is going to be like. Your highest expectations, it will far exceed your highest expectations, no matter what you can even dream about. Whatever you can anticipate, whatever you can dream about, heaven's going to be like, it's going to far exceed your highest expectations. Nothing else in this world can ever do that. But heaven will do that. And God has described, give us a description to help us understand what heaven is going to be like, and to anticipate one day opening our eyes and realizing that if you're saved, this is heaven. This is heaven. Now, I know that as we understand this, it's something that we can anticipate, something that we can look forward to. Again, I don't think anybody's ready to jump on the bandwagon and say, I want to go to heaven tonight. Amen. I think God has given us a desire to live, and we want to live as long as God would have us to live, because we only have one physical life to live, and we only have one physical life to serve the Lord. We only have one physical life to honor God. Only one physical life to prepare us for an eternity in heaven. And so I believe God's instilled with that within us to want to serve God and to accomplish all that God would have us to accomplish in this life. But in this life, as we look to serve God, there's nothing wrong with, and God wants us to understand this, what heaven will be like. And so we can anticipate that day when my work on this earth is done and I've accomplished all that God would have me to accomplish, I have this place of eternal glory to look forward to. Look back with me to Hebrews in chapter 11. In Hebrews in chapter 11, we know this is the faith chapter. And he reveals everything about all the different ones in the Old Testament and all the saints, even going into the New Testament. But it reveals here that they all live by faith. And Wednesday night, our life on John the Baptist, what a great, great truth that we was able to study in looking at the life of John the Baptist. It's always been about faith. It's never a time that it was not about faith, from Adam all the way through. It's about faith in God. And Hebrews in chapter 11, in verse 13, look what it says. After it just mentions about many of those in the Old Testament, he says, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them, embraced the things concerning eternal things, embraced the fact that there is a heaven, embraced the fact that God has a purpose and a plan, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. When we understand that heaven is real, and we understand that it's for an eternity, then I think it better equips us to realize this earth is not our home. Heaven is our home. Heaven is, we're going to spend eternity there. It's just not a vacation spot. Amen? Most of us have a favorite vacation spot, and we look forward to going to that, but it seems like as soon as you get there, it's time to leave because it's so short. Heaven is not a vacation spot. Heaven will be our home. This life is not our home, and as we compare this life, no matter how long God might give us to live in this life, compared to eternity, it's very brief. It's a twinkling of an eye. But heaven is for an eternity. All live by faith, and as they live by faith and endure the afflictions and endure the trials and the sufferings of this life, they kept in view knowing that heaven was real. This earth was not their home. They were just strangers and pilgrims on this earth, and they were looking forward to one day experiencing a place called home. In this life, our hometown has meaning to it. I know my son-in-law and our associate pastor over here, Andy Folger. He was born and raised in Cleveland, Ohio. And I haven't been able to get that out of him yet. He buys my grandchildren Cleveland, Ohio jerseys. And I don't know that anybody's any more excited about LeBron James going to Cleveland, Ohio again as my son-in-law and my grandchildren. And I'm saying, hey, you're living in Indianapolis now. Come on, this is our home city. And no, he's just visiting here. He might live here the rest of his life, but it's not going to be like Cleveland. Why? Because that's his hometown. And there's something about our hometown. It just, you might have moved away from it, and you might be living on the other side. Someone from the East Coast might move to the West Coast, or the West Coast move to the East Coast. But there's something about where you were born and raised. There's something about a hometown, and just can't get that out of him. He loves it. The saints of the Old Testament realized this earth was not their hometown. Strangers and pilgrims here. Heaven was what they had their focus on. In Revelations in chapter 21, as we've been studying here, verse 9 to verse 11, it's holy Jerusalem. And this right here, the practical application here, there's so much more we could go into, but the practical application that it's for the Gentiles, really, Jerusalem outside of the Bible doesn't mean that much to us. Most of us have never been to Jerusalem. We understand the significance of the city. We understand that how what God says about it. And for the Jews in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, all the different things, and understanding one day Jesus Christ will rule and reign, as we studied in the millennial reign of Christ, he'll rule and reign from Jerusalem. It has a lot of meaning to it, but really, it's not our hometown. But God uses this in the book of Revelation to help us to understand something about Jerusalem and what it symbolizes. It symbolizes heaven. It's holy Jerusalem, and it's home for the Lamb's wife. That's what it says right there in verse 9. It says, "And I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." Who is the bride of Christ? And who is the Lamb? The Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is his wife? Listen to me. That's every believer. That if you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, listen to me. You are part of the church, and the church is the Lamb's wife. The bride of Christ is his church. And so we find here that says, "And he carried me away into the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven." Holy Jerusalem, ascending out of heaven. It's the Lamb's wife. It's the church. It has the glory of God. Can I tell you, the best city is up for debate in this life. Whether it's Cleveland, only a few could claim Cleveland has been the best, or Indianapolis, and most of us here, if you are Indiana, I mean, if you're a Hoosier, and if you've been born and raised in it, you're saying, praise the Lord for Indiana, it's our hometown, or whatever city you might have been born and raised in, it's your hometown, that's up for debate, that's up to whoever it is, and that was raised there. But you look at that as your hometown. Listen to me. When it comes to Jerusalem, when it comes to the believer, there's nothing going to be like heaven. That's the emphasis here. That's why he's revealing this as the city, this great city, the glory of God. It's heaven for the church. It's heaven. It's home for every born-again believer. Verses 12 through verse 14. Verses 12 through 14, it starts describing this hometown. And there's much about the 12, the gates and the walls. And if you would look at this, it resembles a lot of the tabernacle of the Old Testament for the 12 tribes of Israel. And then there is some meaning when it comes to the 12 apostles in the New Testament. And again, there's so much we could break it down, but this is more of a practical study. And so the application of what you find in verse 12 to verse 17 is talking about the four squares, the size of the city, 1,500 miles in length, 1,500 miles in width, 1,500 miles in height, 1,500 miles in depth. It's describing that. And it's helped us to understand its application, and that is our home in heaven. It's massive. Our home in heaven is secure. Our home in heaven is a safe place to call home. What a blessing to have a place of refuge in your home.
Amen.
In this life here, there's nothing like home. Early on in the ministry, it's something my wife and I sit down and we decided home is going to be a place of refuge. In the ministry, you're battling a lot of different things. You're battling Satan, hand and foot, at every turn. There's oppositions to the work of God. There's oppositions to the church. And there's different battles taking place. And we have been battling. But as long as we have our home to go home to, that is a place of refuge. I told my wife, as long as I can come home to a loving home, to secure home, to a safe home, a place of refuge, Satan can throw all the fiery darts he wants to throw at me in the world. As long as I have a home to look forward to going home to, that's my refuge. It's what we need. I believe that God would have every child to have that kind of a home life. That's why he says that he wants every child to be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Because he desires every child to be raised to have a secure and safe home. It's not the case. It's not because it's not God's will. It's because God's given a free will to man. Not every home is a safe haven because of the sins of the parents. And one day they'll give an account for that. For how you've established your home, for what kind of environment you have in your home. A safe place to call home. Many saints, Old and New Testament, serve the Lord without having this comfort. Amen? Because it was different times. It was not the freedom of religion that we have in America today. And they had to sacrifice in order to serve the Lord and accomplish God's plan for that. But they had this idea of, I got a home in heaven to look forward to. In Luke in chapter 9, look back there with me. In Luke in chapter 9, Jesus told some of them, especially during the time that he came, and he knew how it was going to be a struggle, how there's going to face a lot of persecution in this life, and how the world would be against them and establishing their home. In Luke in chapter 9, we find in verse 57, verse 58, the Bible says, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, they have homes, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He came to do a work. He came to do a work, to establish a home for everyone to look forward to. Amen. You see, if If we don't have the right kind of home life here, and I believe that God would have us to establish the right kind of home life, but no matter what takes place in this life, we all have that home to look forward to in heaven. And God says, I want you to understand this. I want you to understand that heaven is real. And this is some truths about heaven. So when you're having a hard time in this life, when you're battling some of the things of this life, you can always look forward to knowing that you have a home in heaven to look forward to. Praise the Lord when we're able to establish it here and to have that place of refuge here. But if you don't have that, or if you've lost that, there is still something that you can hold on to, and that is a home in heaven.
Amen.
A home in heaven. A safe place to call home. He said it's going to be a safe place. The walls, the gates. Verses 18 to 21, chapter 21. Her building materials. Again, there could be a lot said about this, and we could all break it down, but a practical application, only the best and most beautiful remodeling is going to be done. Your home in heaven, only the best. Building of the wall of it was as jasper, and the city was pure gold like unto clear glass. We've lived in the same house that we live in now for, I think, 17, 18 years. And over the course of 18 years, to keep her content, and we've had some remodeling projects. And after being here at the church 30 years and being a part of building just about everything here, I've learned how to do a lot of that myself. And so taking down walls, putting doors in here, putting doors in there. When she realized I could do that, my goodness, what a mistake. What a mistake. But we was able to remodel some things. And when we remodeled it, I could just tell that made her so happy. And praise the Lord for that. I remember when we had to, it was either move or remodel the kitchen. And we was able to look at it and said, we're going to do it right. And so we was able to find a good price. And my brother and I did a lot of the work as well. But put granite countertops in the kitchen. And we put a stone backsplash around all the different granite countertops. There's something about when my wife walked into her kitchen now. She looked at it differently than what she did before. Before, it was, let's go out to eat. Now that she has it just the way she wants, let's stay home and eat. And I'm saying, praise the Lord, yeah, cook. Go ahead and cook. Something about the granite countertops that she just falls in love with. And I guarantee it, they are nice, amen. You don't have to worry about putting anything under. You just chop everything up right there. You can't scratch it. It's just... It's a blessing, even for me. And there's something about that quality remodeling. Just think about it. If the whole house were made out of pure gold, she'd never leave. God says, I want you to think about what your home is going to be like in glory. I want you to understand about the city. I want you to understand some things. It's going to be a safe haven. It's going to be a place of security. It's going to be a place of safety. And it's going to be something that you enjoy, not having to worry about any of the problems in the earth, not have to worry about your adversary. There will not be an adversary. But it's going to be a place of refuge. And in this place of refuge, it's going to be built with the choices of materials.
Yeah.
Just think about how glad that makes you when you get new carpet or a new floor. And think about the expectations of a home in glory. Yeah. Built out of pure gold. Instead of granite countertops, diamond countertops. Doors made out of pearl. Now stop and think, but today in that, and God says, your highest expectations, your home in glory is going to far exceed your highest expectations. And he gives us a glimpse of what it's going to be like. Building materials. And then lastly tonight, look in verse 22. And I saw no temple there. There's no church house. Wow. Can you imagine not having a church to go to on Sundays? If you're saved here this evening, you understand the most important place of refuge is your home. And you ought to work on making sure that it is a safe haven. It is a protected place. It is a secure place. It is a refuge for you in this life. You ought to work on that. But the second most important place that we go to in this life as a born-again believer is the church. The church is a place of refuge. We can have a controlled environment when we come into the church. You don't have to listen to all the hip-hop music, and you don't have to view all the ungodliness and all the immorality and all the things that are taking place and that we're having to deal with in the world. But when you come to His church, you can come to a safe place, and you can come to a place of worship. And there's something about coming through the doors of the Lighthouse Baptist Church and sensing the presence of God here. There's something about here just enjoying the congregational singing and look around and seeing everybody with smiles on their face singing praises unto God. There's something about the special music when they get up here. You know they've prayed over the songs and the message of songs, and the Spirit of God just works through them to bless our hearts. There's something about when the man of God stands to preach the Word of God and God just speaks to us through the preaching of His Word. There's something about that, and we have need of that in this life. But in heaven, no temple. I'm glad it didn't stop there. I saw no temple therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Woo! Let that sink in. No going to church. It's going to be a state of constant church. It's going to be a state of constant worship. It's going to be a state of a constant viewing of God's presence. It's going to be a state of constant viewing of God's glory. It's going to be a state of constant viewing of God's power. I mean, we experience just a little bit of it in church. Think about it being constant. Today, when we just come out of the world, and you come into a place like that and you just sense the presence of God, we think, wow, what a difference. Amen. What a difference when you can come into a place like this, a church, and you can sense the presence of God and you say, wow, thank you, Lord. I need this. I just so needed this to prepare me to get back out and deal with all the filth of the world and all the battles and all the snares and traps that Satan sets for us and all the temptations of the eyes and the flesh and the world, all that going on. It's a blessing to have a place of refuge, a church to come into, and you sense the presence of God. Listen to me. As you sense that and you're blessed by that, think about heaven. Constant state. There will never be a moment when you do not sense the presence of God. I mean, just thinking about that. What a blessing. There's never going to be a moment that I don't sense His presence. There's never going to be a moment when I don't see Him do a work. Don't witness the power of God. In this life, we witness the power of God. And what a blessing. We just had testimony. The power of God to look over two girls in a car that could have very easily lost their lives, where the police officer says that she shouldn't have walked away from that. And for them and their parents to know, it was a powerful hand of God. Yes. And you sense that, and you say, thank you, Lord. You sense God put his healing hand on somebody that you've prayed for, and you sense the powerful hand of God, and you say, thank you, Lord. Amen. Heaven, a constant viewing of the power of God. Wow, when we just sense it every now and then, we see it every now and then, what a blessing it is and what a rejoicing it causes my heart to rejoice. But as we have heaven to look forward to, it will be a constant state of experiencing the very power of God. I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. What a blessing when you experience God speak to you. And you know, the preacher didn't know about it. No one else knew about what's going on. But you come to church and you come wanting to hear from God, and his spirit bears witness with your spirit, and he addresses something that only God knows about in your life. And you say, God, you spoke to me. Little old insignificant me. And you, the God of all creation, love me enough to address my issues, to address my problems, to address my need. Thank you, Lord. In heaven, it'll be a constant God speaking to you. Wow. Amen. Knowing all that, it wants me to go now to experience that. But yet I know that I still have a work to be done here. And I don't think Scott and Yvonne's back there saying, yeah, Lord, come tonight. I don't think that's going on. And it's all right. I can understand that. Amen. They've been planning a wedding, and the mom and dad finally got Scott and somebody to marry this man. You know, I don't think they're back there praying, I want heaven. I think they're thinking, hold off just a little bit longer. But even though they're holding off just a little bit longer, they know no matter what, we have heaven to look forward to. Have heaven to look forward to. Experiencing God talking to me for an eternity. It'll be home. Jerusalem. Can I tell you the main thing, the main practical application about what we study here tonight concerning Jerusalem? It'll be home. In closing, let me just read this to you. When surrounded by blackness of the darkest night, oh, how lonely death can be. At the end of this long tunnel is a shining light. For death is swallowed up in victory. But just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven. Of touching a hand and finding it God's. Of breathing new air and finding it celestial. And waking up in glory and finding it home. Home. God wants us to know a little bit about our future home. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. What a blessing to have the book of Revelation that reveals to us heaven. Reveals to us a real place. A place we can look forward to. Want to continue to serve the Lord and accomplish all that we can in this life. You'll never have another opportunity to do that. But as we're serving God in this life, don't ever lose sight of heaven being home. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word. And Lord, as we study this passage of Scripture, I don't know just how you wanted to speak to each and every one that's here, but I believe you did. I believe everyone here that desired to hear from you, I believe you have revealed to them something that applies to their lives. And Lord, as you have spoken to us, if there is a need for us to respond, I pray that we would respond as you would have us to. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.